We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Want to put your baseball skills to the test? Then get ready to show your stuff with MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run. The official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Sign up for free for a chance to play your way to the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 World Series. Visit pitchhitrun.com today.
Love and happiness. Yeah. Something that can make you do wrong, make you do right. Yeah.
Sports Radio 92.9 The Game and 92.9thegame.com. Sam and Jarvis into the 10 o'clock hour. And Jarvis, I know John Chuckery is here. Y'all like to call this hour something kind of special, don't you?
Yeah, it's called the Brown Liquor Music Hour. Let me hit this beat drop first. Yeah, man, something special, man. You know, I was telling Dylan, man, you know, this is something that he cannot mess up. You know, after we pick our first two songs, it's all on him. So if y'all don't like the music going for, after these first two songs, coming back from break, blame it on Dylan, man. He's the one that messes up. But we putting it all in his hands.
No pressure.
No pressure, man. No pressure whatsoever, man.
And Dylan's had a good night tonight. He's had a good night behind the glass. But you got to finish up strong, down, man. You got to finish it up right. You got to finish it up right. You know, you so glad you've been with man. Us. Sam and Jarvis sitting here for John Chuckery on this Monday night. And so glad you've been with us. You can continue to follow us on social media. Jarvis is at JarvisD90 on Twitter. And I am at SamCrenshaw23 on Twitter.
Oh, yeah. Got a quick shout out for One Fat Mac, who he followed me on Twitter at JarvisD90. I'm going to give him a quick little shout out. Thanks for the follow. If you want to get a quick shout out before we get out of here, but at 11 o'clock. Go ahead and follow me at JarvisD90. Yeah, I'm trying to pimp followers, man. Sam, that's how I'm feeling in the brown looking music, man. I need to get some brown looking on the system, man. I might be all right.
Way to finish up this holiday. Last segment, we were talking about something that's kind of gotten next to Jarvis and I, and this is the Rooney Rule and what it does for the next minority coach that is hired and how that coach will be seen. That something like this was necessary for someone who has earned the right for the chance to have the chance. We got a caller that wanted to come in and check in with us about it. Al is out in Lithonia. I had some thoughts on the Rooney Rule. Al, welcome to Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Hello.
Welcome. How you doing?
Huh? Hello, Sam.
Yeah, great to have you on.
Hey, man.
How you doing?
I listened to Love and Happiness. And I recall that Andre Rison used to try to sing that.
Really? Oh, my goodness. That back in the day, Bad Moon Rising.
I didn't say he was any good at it, but he did try to sing that once, I recall. He thought he had a music career, and clearly he should have kept catching them passes. But you were talking about this whole, you know, black coaching rules, and I got to tell you, I have to agree. I think it's Tony Dungy that says any rule that makes you, that has to make you do right is wrong. So I'm going to give you my own Rooney Rule. They should be required to have as many blacks in the front office as they have cleaning that front office at night.
Whoa. Okay.
Because those guys cleaning that office are probably working to put their children and grandchildren through college so they can get in that front office. And if you put up that clear roadblock, what's right about that? So, you know, you should have that same guy. That should be the body count. How many black janitors do you have? And if you ain't got none, then something else is wrong. But what do you think?
I'm gonna let you have that one because Al took things in a whole different direction.
Like, let me go ahead and say that. Like, because we were talking about janitors. Man, I don't care about that. Like, I don't care anything about that. I care about minorities or the guys that 70% of the guys being able to get an opportunity to coach the game. Or if that guy doesn't play in the NFL, he's getting the opportunity to coach the game. Because it's all about what you've done, what you've accomplished, and having a level playing field. Like you mentioned earlier, it's all about level playing field, man. I don't care about people cleaning up the building. Who cares?
I think, in theory, though, I get what he's saying. If people are good enough to work in one capacity, why can't they be good enough to work in another?
We know they're good enough because there have been successful black head coaches in the league. I think that's what he's talking about.
The disproportionate numbers, and I think that's. It is a rather different way of putting it, but I understand, it's a much better way of putting it
in my eyes. because at the end of the day, you know, you want to be fair. We know how this world is set up. We know that this world, life isn't fair, and everything isn't going to be equal. But when you, like you said, the disparities. The proof is in the pudding, man. Like, you can quantify this thing like pretty easily, you know. You know, like, the numbers are just off. Like, they're very off. Like, when you have guys like Eric Bieniemy still looking around trying to get a head coaching gig, there's a problem. That's a problem. And you have guys like Cliff Kingsbury, who I'm still trying to figure out what was the catch, like, because we all know everybody fell in love with Sean McVay, how he can remember play calls from 10 years ago. And, you know, he was the wonder kid and everybody who worked with him got a head coaching job. I get that when it comes to him. But what's the fascination with Cliff Kingsbury? You know, he looks young and he's, you know, some would say he's a good looking, you know, man. And, you know, he looks like he's a single man living the life. In the draft, he had his feet kicked up with the lavish house and all that stuff. You can fall in love
image.
With that. That's how he got the
nice
job.
Image.
Like, I want to figure out why he got the job. And I think we're going to find out pretty soon, you know, now that he has his quarterback in Kyler Murray. But I mean, best believe you talk about that respect factor of the first minority being hired after these.
But you talk about a coaching tree. You're talking about guys, you know, talk about guys who coach for a certain place. But then Andy Reid. What about? I mean, he's able to have guys that come out from being his assistants and be successful in the league. You know, it's not like people don't know Andy Reid and the quality that he has around him, and he's just won a Super Bowl too. I mean, come on.
Yeah.
So, I mean, that's you know, if you talk about that meaning something or standing for something, that's all the more reason why this man gets. And unfortunately now, if he gets a job next season as a head coach, somebody's going to say, oh, it's because they incentivized, you know, they did something with the Rooney Rule and they brought it up and they made a big noise about it, so now he gets a chance. And to me, that's so unfair to him. Yeah, it'll be great to see him get the job, and I'll be happy and proud for him, but to me, that's going to be unfair to him. That a lot of people are going to say, oh, yeah, he got it, but we know why he got it. So, I mean, that's the downside of them even mentioning that this rule be in effect, and that now to someone who really does deserve it may have that attached
but
to
we
them.
We have to figure it out.
You know, that's the thing. That's the thing. Sam and Jarvis on this Monday night here on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, 92.9thegame.com. We are in the Brown Liquor Hour. We just had a little bit of that music. We're going to get some more as we go along. And once again, you know, Dylan is under the gun. We're going to watch for him doing that. We want to watch things to see where the NBA gets things going again. And we talked about things that we've missed this spring, Jarvis. And one of the things I missed was getting to see the Atlanta Hawks with potentially next season starting lineup healthy and on the floor for the last month of the regular season. I was truly looking forward to seeing everybody healthy when Clint Capella was able to go. I don't know how many games he would have been ready to play with the team, but just to have him factored in with the young nucleus that we have with this team, I just wanted to see it, you know, and even if it's just for a few games. But it reflects the hard work that's going on in the front office with this team. They've made some moves, and they still could be in position to be in the draft lottery one more time.
Yeah, I think one of the things that and actually today is the third year anniversary of Travis Slank being hired for the Atlanta Hawks as the general manager. So I think once you take into account what he has done so far, when you talk about drafting John Collins in his first draft with the 19th overall pick, drafting Kevin Huerter with the 19th overall pick in the 2018 draft, and you know, being able to trade away Torian Prince and getting the first round pick for that, and getting a guy with a salary dump guy, Allen Crabbe, and it just all of the moves he's been making to get this team to this point, he's done a pretty stand up job so far. And just like you said, I was really looking to see if, you know, what Clint Capella could look like. Can he play with a John Collins? And then obviously John Collins with the whole contract situation, how is he going to handle that? Is he going to give him max money? It's just a whole lot of things that Travis Schlenk has dealt with. And I think there's going to be some pivotal moves coming into this season. I mean, next season as well. And is he going to take that pick, or is he going to package that pick up and trade for an already established player to give Trae Young another quote-unquote superstar or a guy who can be a really big contributor on his team? I'm just really, really admiring what Travis Schlenk has done thus far. And, you know, like I said, mentioned all of those moves. It was just truly unfortunate to see it stop, because you knew that Clint Capella was on the verge of maybe possibly coming back and having all of this time now, this downtime now. And they said the NBA is looking to at least finish out the regular season or get them to, I think the amount of games they want to get to is 70. If they can get to that 70, get all the teams to that 70 game mark, they can then start looking at starting the playoffs. So how many ever games that is for the Hawks, I think that I'll be very interested to see those games if Clint Capella were to play.
Yeah, that's the thing. And I tell you, one other player that I'd like to mention there was Cam Reddish, who was starting to put together some consistent performances.
Yes, he was.
Right before things started. And that was something we wondered. It seemed like he was lost and turned around there the first half of the season. After the All-Star break, it seemed like he had started putting together some consistent performances. And that's another reason for optimism, because of the upside with that young man. We'll be watching to see what happens with the Hawks going forward. We got more. We're going to talk a little Falcon talk as well, too, and some more NFL as we get set to roll on in with our Brown Liquor Music Hour as we continue. And Sam and Jarvis here on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, 92.9thegame.com. We're available from the radio.com app through your smartphone and your smart speakers.
Ain't no sunshine when she's gone. It's not warm when she's away.
No, that's the one that everyone is shaking their head about right now. If the two people who preceded Eric Bieniemy in his position, Doug Peterson and Matt Nagy, could get head coaching jobs without calling plays simply because they were the offensive coordinator off Andy Reid's tree, and Eric Bieniemy has the same position as a league MVP 2 years ago and a Super Bowl MVP last season, and he gets passed over for Joe Judge when Eric checked all of the boxes, and Joe Judge, in terms of the recent trends in hiring, did not check those boxes. That just isn't there.
Sports Radio 92.9 The Game and 92.9thegame.com. Sam and Jarvis, and that's Jim Trotter, NFL reporter and author, and his thoughts on what he sees as the injustice of Eric Bieniemy being, you know, skipped over, bypassed, whatever you want to call it, for a head coaching job in the National Football League. Someone who is clearly has an impressive resume, as he says, checks all the boxes, yet turned away. Glad you've been with us tonight on this Sunday night, on this Monday night here on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, as we keep the seat warm for you know, Chuckery, and of course we still have the Brownwater music. But Jarvis, that sound clip just continues to drive home the point of what we've talked about here tonight.
Yeah, that's the thing, man. You know, there's always been, you know, what people would say, like to say, like, oh, this guy isn't qualified. What are the qualifications? Please let me know. Put them on a, write them on the wall and put them on the wall and let me know what they are. So when I meet these qualifications, I still don't get a job. Now I can really put you to task. So that's where we eventually going to get to. And I think this Rooney rule is something that prevents you from getting to that point. And I'm not saying that you should do away with the Rooney rule by no means. I think there are some good things in there. There are some things that work did go through, or they are going to implement, and that is allowing guys to interview for coordinator positions. Teams can no longer block you from doing that. I think that's great, especially if you got guys that have potential and they have aspirations to be, you know, head coaches or offensive or defensive coordinators. Those guys should be allowed to interview for those positions. And then, you know, they're talking about hiring, instead of one interviewing one minority candidate, you have to interview two outside minority candidates. And that's, I think that's big as well, because a lot of times they'll interview a guy that's already on staff, and more than likely he's going to move on, or more likely they're going to keep him on staff, even if they do hire a new person, and it just kind of like check the box and move on. But, you know, when you have a candidate like Eric Bieniemy, man, like, what, please tell me what the qualifications are so I can scratch Eric Bieniemy as a candidate off the list. Please tell me. Let me know.
We're going to debate with this, and we're going to take another call here, someone that wants to join us. And you can, too, at 447-410-929 to give us your thoughts. We got D.C. in Lithonia wants to join us. D.C., hope your holiday weekend has been a safe one, that you and your family are well, and welcome to Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Oh, yeah, brother, all of that. Same back to you and Jarvis.
Thanks, brother.
My thing is I'm looking at it like this. A different angle is maybe they should institute a rule where you can't, if you get fired as a coach in the NFL, you can't get hired for maybe about, I'd put a number on it, 3 years. I mean, because, take case in point, Mike McCarthy had Aaron Rodgers up there in Green Bay. Okay? He gets fired, sits out a year, now he's back coaching in Dallas. I mean, now if you couldn't win with Aaron Rodgers, what makes you think you're going to go down in Dallas and do something with Dak Prescott?
It's true. DC, that's a great point.
Okay, three. And then Bruce Arians, he didn't do nothing out there in Arizona, man. Nothing. And he gets to go to Tampa Bay? It doesn't make any sense to me. Like I said, if you can't keep your coach, and with the talent you got in the NFL, if you can't keep your job, they should at least make you, you know, you can't come back in for at least two, maybe three years. And thank you, and I hope everybody had a safe and happy Memorial Day.
All right. Thanks a lot, DC. He makes a great point, Jarvis. I mean, I don't know if you wanted to keep coaches away from that long, but once again, there are other, like, that's part of what's happening. You got organizations
that are waiting. Now, right?
Yeah, we're waiting for somebody to let that person go because they know them from being an assistant, or they have a previous relationship with that person. Yeah. So they move on to the next place. The problem is when they leave where they were, who gets hired for that job? So, I mean, that's, you know, that makes it very frustrating, especially when you talk about someone like Eric Bieniemy, who's done all the things, and as we say, you know, checks all the boxes in this discussion. We got another one wants to join us now. We got Jim from Conyers wants to join us. Jim, welcome to Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Hope it's been a good holiday weekend for you and your family.
Oh, yeah. I had my holiday yesterday. I worked at that. But I had a head coach in high school, and he was black, and we had another coach that was white. Well, when I sat there and watched the black coach, he kept getting north side of DeKalb County. They wouldn't give him them jobs. So he took one on the southern side of DeKalb County and was really successful. Now, I had went back and did the volunteer coaching thing and got a little check from August to how far, whatever month you went to in the playoffs, November or December, playing for the state championship. Now, another friend of mine was going to college, and he ended up, went back to school and went back to college, and he actually, because he had, like, only burned up 1 year of eligibility, he still had three left. So he played for a real good college coach. Another friend of mine we went to high school with, he played at Alabama, was in Bear Bryant's last recruiting class. But when we got to the youth league, the guy that played at Alabama, and you'd think, you know, okay, he's real good. Well, he only went to the playoffs one time with losing records. So he only won one season at another high school. But the catch is, I don't get into black and white. I'm white. I can't really, it's just quick, like be on top and call plays. Now I can sit there with someone and watch and we call plays together, and I can say, hey, let's do this play where blah, 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 and set up a series of plays to set something up. And I did that with my coach in high school several times, sometimes. But, I mean, look at, like, who's picking the people that you're hiring. You got Thomas Dimitroff. I mean, good Lord Almighty, what does he do with the Falcons picking players? And he's part of the equation of coaches and all that kind of stuff. Well, you got the same thing at other teams. And it's like, it's just a crapshoot, really. Sometimes you might hire your best buddy or have a good, better feeling about your buddy. But then again, I mean, Jerry Jones is going to do what he's going to do. And certain other owners are going to do what they're going to do. But I don't know how to really get around the black and white issue thing.
Well, I think one of the things that Jim mentioned, and thanks for the call, Jim. One thing he mentioned was that guys are going to hire who they know. Like, guys are going to hire who they're close to. They're going to not hire a guy that they know is the hot shot next guy. You know, if you're not deemed that hot shot next guy, I put myself in this category. We as the media have a responsibility to put guys in that category too. Are they, you know, everybody doing stories about Sean McVay before he got hired and talking about he was the wonder kid and, you know, and hyping him up and how he was, you know, he played at Marist High here locally and just everything that, you know,
he comes from a family too.
Yeah.
That's a whole lineage of guys,
you know, coaching or being active in the NFL. So I think that the path was laid for him. What about the guys that doesn't have that path? Doesn't have that path laid out for them. You know, a guy who played in the NFL like the Eric Bieniemy. He played in the NFL.
Well, that's why I say it's all the more ridiculous when you think that now what schools these guys come from. You know, back in the day they could say when an Art Shell came along and say, "Well, no, we don't know. He went to Maryland Eastern Shore." You know what about it? Went to Maryland Eastern Shore, or maybe not. You know what I mean? They don't even play football no more. But I'm just saying, you know, the universities that these men come from. You know, they come from the same schools that many of the executives and owners
Colorado,
come from.
Man.
To me, that's the thing that makes it so ridiculous. If you really cared, then you do your fact finding and find out and find the connection that gets you the information that gives you a sense of peace with making this decision. That's what I'm doing. Is that asking too much to go that extra step to find out? You obviously got the resources. You get to do whatever you need to find out to get. And to me, put that to this to use the right way and just do your fact finding. Do your due diligence.
Yeah,
you know,
that's what it's all
about. That's all. Yeah. And I don't think that's asking too much for anybody to do that, to do the right thing and to give the right opportunity to a person who deserves it. So,
yeah, I think it takes a village to get these minority guys hired, man. I think one aspect of it is definitely the media doing stories on those guys, talking to those guys, getting those guys' names out there, you know, and having the right agent, getting up that side of it too, because I think that's a part of it too. Those, you know, the big time, you know, like a guy like Jim Trotter, you know, not to say that he doesn't do this, but you know, he may have a relationship with the Chargers owner. You know, he's like, hey, you need to take a look at this guy. And speaking of the Chargers out there in L.A., Anthony Lynn, he's a guy that got hired. He was Absolutely. A guy that was one of the few offensive coordinators, minority offensive coordinator, you know, because everybody wants the OC, everybody wants the offensive mastermind. And Anthony Lynn had a lot of success up in Buffalo, calling plays with Tyrod Taylor as his quarterback. So, and he's out there in L.A. right now, too, who he's very comfortable with going into the season as his starter. Because he knows exactly what he can do and his capability. So they're very capable guys out there. And I think that, you know, it's going to have to take the NFL doing something drastic. I don't think that's the move for the NFL, but I think it's going to take something really drastic in order for you to see some change, because that's how it's always worked in America. when you want change, when you want things to be different, and I'm sure you can speak to this more so than I can, you know, when you want to see change, there are going to have to be some drastic measures. You know, people have to take drastic measures in order to see change.
And we don't know what the drastic measures would be. I mean, the drastic measures is not going to come by the fans, because the fans want anything to tinker with the game. Fans won't see that. Fans may be outraged. We heard from some fans tonight who called in, but when the bottom line come and Sunday come, they won't see football.
They just want to see football. They want people to see. Can you win? You know that's at the end of the day. Can you win? Can you win games?
Yes. The thing.
Okay. Let's go.
You know, it can be a drastic thing. It's a complicated thing. But once again, to me, it's a simple thing. Do your due diligence. You know, use your resources and do your fact finding. I don't think that's asking too much. Some people just don't want to go that extra mile. Look, folks, we got one more segment. We're going to come back and put a wrap up on this Monday night, Memorial Day 2020. Sam Crenshaw, Jarvis Davis sitting in for John Chuckery. You stay with us as we get set to wrap things up here on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. We are available through the radio.com app for your smartphone and all of your smart devices. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game and 92.9thegame.com. Into the Brown Liquor Hour, Sam and Jarvis keeping it warm for John Chuckery. And yeah, this is what y'all do every night this time, right, Jarvis? Every night this time.
Chuckery, no, we have to do this at the end of the show.
Oh, really?
Yeah, this is the end of the show.
Oh, man.
I don't know about Dylan, man.
Oh, Dylan. All they had to do was hold it in the road, man. All they had to do was hold it in the road, man. Come on, Dylan.
That's right.
Well, he's saying he's all right to do it now.
Okay.
Dylan's done great work tonight.
But let me tell you about your boy, though, Sam. So, you know, I like the musical selection so far. You know, kind of let him. I was gonna give him a recommendation, but I was like, you know what? Let me let the young kid do his thing. So, after we go to break, last break, I was like, hey, man, that was a good job. Man, that's good stuff. You know, this dude said he Googled brown liquor music and YouTube. And just been playing. He just been playing.
He got just ruined the whole thing.
I was like, you just killed the whole vibe. Like, man, like, brother. Sometimes it's okay to tell a little fib, man. A little white lie. It's okay to tell a little white lie. It's all right, man. Like, sometimes you don't got to be all the way truthful. You know what I'm saying? You just take the credit and keep moving, Jack.
Yeah. But that's what I have a niece that does that, man. She's a sophomore at Florida State. And then the thing I mentioned that she ain't quite sure about, she hits that Google. And then she hits me back, and then she tells me something else that she found out about it. And, oh, and did you know so-and-so? So how you found that out, Miss Google? You know, so yeah, so I know all about them doing that. For those of you keeping score at home, there has been a live sporting event tonight. That was NASCAR Xfinity Series up in Charlotte, and Kyle Busch wins. I mean, he's a driver, and he wins a lot there, but he wins. He's driving every race in Charlotte, by the way, this week. He drove the Xfinity Series tonight. He's going to drive in the truck race tomorrow night, and he'll be back in the cup cars again, Wednesday night up in Charlotte. So he is your winner up there tonight. In a car that was decorated and dedicated to the Appalachian State class of 2020. So it's decorated that big A, black with that big A we see on that helmet, which, you know, hanging out with Georgia State, we've had a hard time with them folks up there for football, Appalachian State.
You know those?
Yeah, that's an awfully good program.
They got my little whoopstick up there in
Boone.
Have you been to Boone, North Carolina?
I've been there, and I stood out in the snow all day. I'll show you the picture of it, man. I'm on sidelines. You know, I'm sidelines, Georgia State. Man, it snowed the day before, and there was so much snow, it was ridiculous. Yeah, I have been to Boone, North Carolina.
I haven't been to Boone, but I've been up in that area. It was quite interesting. You know, when Ashley got married, Andy Bunker, the midday host on 99, those who don't know.
Yeah.
He got married up there, and it was really nice, man. Really nice area. A little old school, but we were able to get through it. But it was cool.
It's a lot of mountains. It's not as far as you think. And they recruit this state so well. They always recruit Georgia very well. And Metro Atlanta. Maybe some parents feel like that's a good fit for their child. They feel like they need to go somewhere like that, where they're going to get a chance to compete at a great level, but still where, you know, when you're done, you're going to do your schoolwork. Ain't a whole lot to get into up there. And it worked. I mean, you know, you're a little distance away from Charlotte. There ain't a whole lot else happening up in Boone, North Carolina, but some mountains and some winding roads. You hope your brakes don't go out when you're coming. And they got a nice athletic program up there. So they were sponsoring the car that he was driving tonight. And so that was a kind of cool tribute to them.
Since we're in the brown liquor music hour, you know, a lot of times that gets consumed at barbecues. So, guys, since it's Memorial Day, I thought it would only be fitting that I ask you, when is it time for everybody to get out? like, what is an appropriate time for everybody to get out? You know, and how do you let people know it's time to go?
Yeah.
How did the great Sam Crenshaw do it?
You hide the brown liquor. You say, okay, all of a sudden it's disappeared. And you put that up because my wife is only going to put so much of it out to begin with.
So she's going to be stashing the good stuff away before you?
She only put so much out, man. I mean, I've never seen anybody put that, you know, and then people coming over, and she take it and put it up under something. I said, well, folks coming over, yeah, we going to put it up under here. You put so much of it will be out. And the rest of it, people will look around and see that all of a sudden it's vacated, and they say, okay, well, maybe that's our cue.
That's a sign, right? Yeah.
That's it. You know.
Passing out the to-go plates or letting people know they can get the go plates. I think that's always been an indicator. Being at people's houses and stuff, there's a lot of food. They're like, you know, y'all know I can get you a plate if you want to. In other words, translation, y'all can get the hell on and take this food with you.
You get that covered dish. You get that covered dish there. You ain't right. What you want. Exactly. We gonna put it in there for you. Put another plate on top of that, and you know, unless you got those little flip tops, you know, you put stuff in there and you put it in and package it real nice. And people like that. I don't know how your holiday has been for you listening to us. I hope it's been a good one for you. And have enjoyed our guests that we've had on tonight. Chris Marler was a lot of fun from Saturday Down South. We talked some SEC football, and he told us some hot dog recipes and things of that nature. He was great.
You don't toast the butter with no butter, though. Like, come on, man. Yeah, can you talk about that?
He started putting butter on everything, though, for a minute there, wasn't he? He was – I'm like, hold up, bro. Hold up.
Quarantine 30. Forget the 15.
Oh my goodness. So we enjoyed spending time with him. And then David Rumsey joined us from Sports Business Journal and Sports Business Weekly. And it was Sports Business Daily. And we had a chance to him, and he talked some things about what to watch for in the future. And as we see sports return and unfold, watch for possibly putting those sponsors in different places on the field. And you know, it can see that, Jarvis. I mean, when you listen to a game on the radio now, you know, everything has a sponsor. You listen to a football game, a pro game, NFL game, or a college game, you get into the red zone. You know, you score a touchdown. That could have something. Your point after could be something. Your kickoff could be sponsored. You know, all those things. Now you see them on the field. You see a certain sponsorship come on. At a certain time, if you get in the red zone, maybe something changes and a sponsor pops up on there. Or after a touchdown, something shows up in the corner. They're going to find ways to generate this cash is what I'm saying, you know.
Yeah,
and that's the thing.
When you think about it now, like, I think now is the perfect time to do it, because when you have a possibility of losing revenue throughout the regular season, or you're having no fans in these big stadiums that you have to fill, I think that's definitely going to be an option. To if you were kind of on the fence about it as a commissioner or a person in charge, I think you kind of lean towards that, because you got to satisfy the people that have voted you as a commissioner or who are paying your salary, so to speak. So I think this is the perfect time, because I'm not even a gambling man. But when I saw that DraftKings pop up right before Tom Brady took his shot, I was like, man, if I put a couple of dollars on there, you know, do the math. Like, I'm not really, you know, good at the, you know, what the plus or minus means sometimes. Sometimes I got to take a little time out to kind of think about it. Like, okay, so if I bet this amount, how much would I win? You know, but like I said, I was definitely intrigued. I was intrigued for sure. If I would have had a DraftKings app, I probably would put a couple of dollars on it just to see how it works. So I think I would have been, I think for people who do that on a regular basis, oh man, they're going to have too much fun with that. They're going to be even locked in even more. And who's to say that doesn't keep people from going to games, because they want to be able to have that experience at home with the flat screens and the 20K TVs, and you're able to bet live on the games as they're scrolling across the screen. I mean, that's, like, what more can you ask for if you're in that type of thing?
If you can have that everything, and then have the gambling, the wagering experience, the lifetime wagering experience, and you bet on everything. But think of all the prop bets you have for the Super Bowl.
Oh, my goodness.
Think of all those things you talk about, everything from the coin toss to you know, to everything. Who's going to get the first, you know, first down? Who's going to have the first turnover? You know, it's limitless when you think about it. And those opportunities, if that's going to be there. And David said, just like we saw it for what is basically a special event in the match, and it sets up very well for match play golf, but look for it in some other sports as well. I mean, if you got, you know, a great pitcher that's starting a game, and you want to say, well, how many strikeouts will he have by the fourth inning? How many strikeouts will he have by the sixth inning? Those are all things you can
opportunities are limitless, man. Like, yeah, and I don't think it'd be good for the degenerate gamblers. Like, there'll be a lot of people going broke too.
Yeah, the guys who got a problem now—that's a different thing for the guys who got a problem.
I don't think that's going to help too much.
The guys who go to Vegas and end up selling their plane ticket and whatnot, cashing in their plane ticket to go back to the table. Yeah, you don't need them guys
You got the debit card linked to the DraftKings account, man. She might be in trouble, ooh, man.
Don't want to see
bringing
that
up a lot of happy homes.
Yeah. Folks, we have started here through the holiday that annually signals the start of the summer season. The spring has gone by, and earlier in the show, we talked about the things that we missed. Jarvis, you talked about missing spring football at University of Georgia. I talked about missing out in the Final Four. There's some other things I missed out on as well so far with high school sports, and we're so glad that the high school athletes are going to get a chance to come back to their school starting on June 8th to work out, some system for June 15th. But I miss seeing a couple of teams in particular. One in particular was spring high school football. There were some great games that were coming up. We didn't get to see those. But I wanted to see a team like the Drew Charter golf team. Last year made history. First Atlanta Public School, first all-black male team, golf team, to win a Georgia high school state championship. And there's such a great story in that East Lake community, and they benefit also from being around the tour championship. The guys told me the stories they had about being at the course. They volunteered there on that Sunday when Tiger Woods won, and all those thousands of people came walking up 18 behind Tiger Woods. They had a chance to be there and then experience that. Wow. They go out the next spring and they win a state championship. That's pretty special, man. Yeah. And so you wanted to see those young guys come back and have a chance to win another state championship. Didn't happen because of what's happened with the pandemic. They didn't get the opportunity to go out and play. And believe me, the girls team over there is good too as well. They were saying this year was going to be their year to get the state championship. And sadly, neither one will. Hopefully those players who are seniors on that team will be able to move on and play golf collegiately. And next year, those that return will get another opportunity to compete for a state championship. But that's something else that I missed this spring, not being able to see those young people achieve that.
Yeah, man, that's one of the things that you that kind of gets lost in the sauce, in a sense, when you think about, you know, what this 2020, this year has a big effect on those people like that, you know, those seniors who weren't able to play their senior years. We talked about earlier how it's going to have an effect on recruiting and possibly being able to go to a bigger.
That's it. Jarvis goes out. Hopefully get him back in here for a minute before we close out and get that final thought. Hey, we're going to wrap things up. We thank you for joining us here on this Monday night, sitting in for John Chuckery. Memorial Day, Monday, 2020. Different holiday of celebrating it than we've seen before, but we've made it through this. Like we've been saying so many times, day after day, we're in this together. And do the things that keep yourself and the ones you love safe and well. If it's time for you to return to your workplace, do that with caution, do that with care. But if you stay close to home a little bit longer, do the things you have to do to allow you to come out positively at the end on the other side of this pandemic. Jarvis, one more time before we get out of here.
Man, everybody stay up. We stay safe, stay sane, and stay sanitized.
Keep those hands clean.
Yes, sir, buddy.
Jarvis, have enjoyed it, man.
Stop buying all the toilet papers. Yeah, let me add that in there.
Savage Jarvis for Chuckery. Hey, thanks for being with us here. And that's it for us tonight. You know, sports. Enjoy the rest of your evening and join us again tomorrow morning on Sports Radio 1990 Game at 1990game.com.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.